yesterday's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Something a little bit different this week. You might have noticed, amidst the news in the run-up to Christmas, good, bad and indifferent, a story about Red Squirrel. Not a real Red Squirrel in this case, Ian the Red Squirrel, a wonderful-sounding children's book which has been recently written and the author has spoken on Manx Radio. A little story featured there which made me think about red squirrels which have cropped up in news stories in the past. I was interested to see what might be in the papers. And, well, an interesting little selection, a potpourri, if you will, of red squirrel stories. 1839 we'll go back to, first of all, the Manx Liberal. There's a good name for a paper. Saturday, July the 27th of that year, 1839. And a wonderful poem featuring the red squirrel. I won't read all of it. Time wouldn't allow. But I'll give you a few verses. It's called Summer. They may boast of the springtime, and flowers are the fairest, and birds sing by thousands on every green tree. They may call it the loveliest, the greenest, the rarest, but the summer's the season that's dearest to me. For the brightness of sunshine, the depth of the shadows, the crystal of waters, the fullness of green, and the rich flowery growth of the old pasture meadows in the glory of summer can only be seen. Oh, the joy of the green world! I love to be in it, and list to the hum of the never-still bees, and to hear the sweet voice of the old mother linnet, and to her young calling among the leaves of the trees. To see the red squirrel frisk hither and thither, and the water rat plunging about in his mirth, and the thousand small lives that the warm summer weather calls forth to rejoice on the bountiful earth. I don't know if we have water longtails, as they'd probably be called now, or red squirrels on the Isle of Man. However, that's what it was in the Manx Liberal of 1839. If we skip forward to 1905, the Mona's Herald of Wednesday, January the 11th. Under a headline, Something for Young Folks, Queer School Days, there's a story called Mr. Red Squirrel. Mr. Red Squirrel came home late one evening, and Mrs. Red Squirrel naturally wanted to know why. My dear, he sputtered, I'd have been home a long time ago, but just as I came to the foot of our tree, there was old Mrs. Hen squatting among the roots with her little ones playing in the grass above her. I tried to explain courteously, but she's not like you, my dear. She wouldn't listen to reason. She thought I'd come to kidnap one of her darlings. Cut, cut, cut and run, she cried, and she looked so angry, and there were little red rings around her eyes, and her feathers were all fluffed up. I didn't know what to do. The Greyfur's dooryard, as you know, my dear, is nearest to our own, but I hardly like to climb up their tree, as our families have not been on speaking terms since the fight last February. But while I was peeping up from behind a big plantain leaf and trying to muster up courage to make one dash for home, risking the terrible talons and beak, to my great relief, I heard Mrs. Hen calling her little ones to come to bed. And they came up out of the grass, not nearly so steady on the legs, my dear, as our babies, and nestled beneath her. And when I thought it was quite safe, I tiptoed from my hiding place. Yes, Mrs. Hen's eyes were closed, quite closed, and she was quietly sleeping. So I just gathered my limbs together and sprang clean over her, landing on the bark of our tree with claws outstretched. And she jumped up in a rage as I whizzed by, but it was too late. And if you listen, my dear, you can still hear Mrs. Hen scolding me down below there for showering her with little pieces of bark as I scampered up the trunk. And there the story ends. I don't know whether that's a story that Ian the Red Squirrel would enjoy or not, but that's the way it was in 1905. If we turn to the Mona's Herald of Wednesday, February the 22nd, 1911, something a little bit more practical about real red squirrels, just like the animals, the article is entitled, in connection with the vexed question, says the writer, as to whether killing birds and animals just for the sake of killing is really legitimate sport. Reference does not appear to have been made, as well as it might be, to the fact that there are few kinds of carnivorous animals that do not themselves kill for killing's sake at some time or another. In lonely districts, the common wildcat has often been known to slaughter half a dozen full-grown sheep in one night, and it will often kill a great many more hens and ducks than it can ever hope to eat. Red squirrels kill young birds for sport, it is claimed, and house cats will often dispatch moles, frogs, and even snakes for no particular reason. Many birds, too, kill for the fun of killing. Shrikes do not eat mice, but they will kill them whenever possible. Sheldrakes can often be seen killing small fish, which they pick out of the river and drop again when dead. Hawks will kill grouse and fly away after tearing the body to pieces. Grim stuff, but nature in tooth and claw, as they say. And then to 1961, and something which has been more commonly in the news about red squirrels of the last 3 or 4 decades, I suppose, whether they could be here on the island or not. An article entitled The Feminine Touch from the Ramsey Courier of Friday, November the 24th, 1961. The other day I drove over the mountain road to Kirkmichael, says the writer, and for mile after mile I saw nothing but bleak, bare countryside, not even a rabbit to break the monotony. Something I read once about red deer roaming wild over the Manx hills came to my mind, and I pictured them standing in all their majesty on the heathered slopes as they do in the highlands of Scotland. Obsessed with this thought, I rang the Manx Museum on my return to Douglas and made an appointment to see Miss Bracegirdle, the natural historian. On entering this hushed and dedicated building, I was transported back in time to my school days, when we used to tiptoe in parties through the wooden corridors, notebooks and pencils in hand, to make sketches of the Manx cottage. This time, I'd come to find out things about my own country from a charming lady from England. I was not disappointed. Miss Bracegirdle confirmed that, up to the beginning of the 18th century, red deer were indigenous to the Isle of Man, and that the climate and other conditions suited them very well. Then I asked the question which had been burning within me for so many hours. Would it be practical to fence off some fairly large area, say like Thalty Will to Sulby, or Cornay to Ballaglass, East or West Baldwin, and establish a nature reserve? I was assured that it would be, and that any such scheme would attract help and interest from many quarters. I myself lived for several years near the Duke of Bedford's estate at Woburn, and can tell you that his vast park, full of rare and beautiful animals, is an unfailing attraction to all, from the most wide-eyed refugee from the city to the most blasé local inhabitant. As we talked, the picture unfolded before me of plantations with pine martens and red squirrels, lakes and rivers full of fish, and an abundance of pheasant, partridge and the like. Throughout would wander herds of mountain ponies and Manx Lockton sheep, now in danger of extinction, she says, and of course the magnificent red deer. Control would be exercised by a game warden who would keep down numbers in a humane and discriminatory fashion, not, of course, by huntsmen. There is no £1 million scheme requiring important syndicates from London to run it, but a simple way in which we can create something beautiful for ourselves, our visitors and our children. Perhaps in the case of the latter, it will help to compensate them for the many other ill-conceived legacies they will inherit. As you know if you read this column, I'm not one of the beautiful countryside no amenities brigade, but neither do I belong to the other side who would cheerfully sell the last acre for a supermarket. I think our island scenery is an extremely valuable asset, and I am sincere in my wish to enhance the value. Quite possibly nothing can be done along the lines I have suggested above. There may be some consideration I've overlooked. And it goes on a little bit further. Well, that was 1961, and I'm afraid the writer would be disappointed. There is no vast nature reserve, red deer or red squirrel on the island. The question still pops up from time to time in the Keys, though. So who knows? Particularly as red deer have been indigenous here, there might be more of an argument for them than the squirrel. Whichever way you look at it, it's old news. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.